I chose this topic just as a reminder. I know the things we're going to look at are probably not new to anyone in here. But, you know, kind of like Rocky just led us, this idea of reading or looking to God's Word and understanding it, it's very important because we can see in some of the examples that we're going to see this morning that, you know, sometimes we might think what we're doing is okay, but it might not necessarily be so. And, you know, it's very important for us to look to God's Word and try to have a better understanding of His will on things. I mean, think about the Bereans when they heard what they said, what was said, and then they looked to Scripture to see if it's so. And that's what we need to do this morning and every day. That's the way that we need to weigh things. Not just take things because others do it a certain way, but which in itself doesn't mean that it's wrong. That's why it's up to us to look to God's Word and see what it says about it. Now, I had mentioned Sunday to read 2 Samuel 6, 3 through 7, and also 1 Chronicles 13. And that's just to look over this account about the transportation of the ark, and just so we would have just a little remembrance of what was going on there as we look at this morning. Now, on the little handout, I recognize there's some spaces there for answers, and doesn't mean you have to hurry up and put them in there. That's just so if you want to put some notes down or any thoughts or whatever, I just left some space there. So maybe this is something that can be helpful to you. Or I titled this, Does It Matter? You know, our religious friends do things and believe things differently than we do. Does it make a difference to God how we do things? So I just want us to look at some scriptures on how God has dealt with some things. We'll see that in the scriptures we're going to look at this morning. We can see some examples of things that others have done in the past. And, you know, their thinking, or at least it's implied their thinking, is that it was okay. But then we see how God handles these things. And then in the way that He handles it tells us that it wasn't okay. So, things for us to think about. So let's look at this story about Uzzah and the transportation or transporting of the ark to see what we can learn from it. So look over at 2 Samuel. I'm going to look at 2 Samuel 6, verses 3 through 7. So, you know, we read these. And both in 1 Chronicles and 2 Samuel, it's very similar. I chose 2 Samuel as far as the way we're mostly going to look at it in the class because of verse 7. It brings out a little different things, or just makes us maybe better understand some things. So 2 Samuel 6, 3 through 7, it says, "And they placed the ark of God on a new cart, that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. So they brought it to the ark. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Ahio was walking ahead of the ark. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood and with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out towards the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. The anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence. And he died there by the ark of God. You know, sometimes people think they have a better way of doing things. I don't know exactly if that was the reasoning behind the cart, but when you think about that, you know, there was already a plan on how this was to be transported. And then, but you see here in this example, it says, but they put this on this new cart. So, you know, do we think about that when maybe we see others trying to do something, I'm going to use the term different. Not that that in its own means that it's wrong. But when we see something like that, do we wait to see why were we doing it this way in the first place? Because in some cases it might matter. Some cases it might not. Depends on what you're doing. But that's something for us to think about. You know, what did they do differently in verse 3? It says that they placed this on a new cart. So why is that? And, you know, some of the things I looked up just to get some other views from other religion or denomination, whatever you want to consider, just looking up this account and see what different things you'll find. And you know, even some of them basically say that sometimes people try to do something and as if they know better than what God would know. So we see that others see it this way as well. And, you know, when we think about doing things, or in a case like this, what was the reasoning behind this? I'm not positive. But if it was because, you know, hey, it's better to put it on this cart, we can get it there quicker, or we can control it better, because, I mean, it notes several times that it was on the hill. I'm not positive what the reasoning was. But we know that they did something different than what was authorized. And we also know the outcome of that. Okay.
In this lesson, we have an obligation to, when we have an idea, we have a question about what we need to do, we have an obligation to first look at the law to see if it's been specific in that instance.
Good point. Good point. And we're going to see something that might give us a little hint to that in later on in 1 Chronicles 15 on how David transports it later. Might give us a little clue to some of that, but that is a good point. And that's, you're right, that's why we need to, when we're doing stuff, we need to go back and consider God's way on things. I mean, I think that's a concept that a lot of us understand, because if you have kids, especially ones that have are grown up a little bit, you get into situations where you find yourself, wow, how am I supposed to handle this? Well, that's when we look into God's Word and we try to figure things out and see how we're supposed to handle things. John, did you have your hand up? Or?
Yeah, well, I was trying to make sure we're still under here.
You go right ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I
No, you're fine.
It seems like what you said earlier, where, you know, it seems to be a good thing the way you phrase your question, and, you know, and people, you know, in denominations, this is a better way maybe to bring people to church.
Right.
We're going to get together and we're going to, you know, give gifts away to children that show up. I know one, when I was a young person, somebody wanted me to come to their Baptist church because if I didn't show up with a cowboy hat, I'd come there with a cowboy hat that day.
Right.
Because I can see through that. But at the same time, it seems what seems good to people sometimes, and their plans and why they do things and why churches function the way they do. And it is driven by men more so than God's Word, checking in to see what God's Word has to do with authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point, because, I mean, we see that. They might lure you with food or whatever, come out, we're having this thing go on today. And I'm sure most of the time the intent is so they get people there because their thinking is, well, if we can get them there, we can talk to them and stuff. But that's not the way that we're supposed to do things. I saw him back here. Oh, really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they did that. Well, what was his point, though? I mean, I understand, but we've got to remember that was back how things were done then, different now. And technically, even if you were back then, unless you were a Levite, you weren't doing that anyway. So, but, yeah, you're right. People will bring up things. Any other thoughts or comments? Yes, sir, Rocky.
I'm just going to say that, again, we don't know why they use carts. The cart's more efficient, right? It's got wheels on it. Maybe they were thinking it would be more safer. There are only two people here versus how many carrying on the shoulders, how many men were involved, possibly four. We only have two men on a hill. Maybe they had good intentions. They said, well, we can use the best method that we know.
Right.
Right. That was their thinking. But, of course, we know it wasn't.
Right. Yeah, good point.
We all know how long they had been away from the ark and transporting it because they were going back to get it. So I think during Saul's time, they weren't interested in giving it. So some time had passed and they hadn't decided. It hadn't been practiced, I guess.
So keeping things current is good, huh?
Two years?
Okay. 2 years. That I don't know about. Okay. Yes, sir.
This account has always struck me as very similar to the Nathan Vayu account on the Strange Fire. I mean, obviously, they did what they did. Maybe they thought it was the right thing to do, maybe not. Maybe they had, you know, good intentions, but clearly it wasn't what God wanted.
Right.
He specifically commanded them to do it in a particular way. And, you know, there's probably a perspective of this that God is a little more patient with them on the cart doing it in a different way than he really had to.
Right.
Because obviously he waited until someone,
touched it. Right.
Both of those accounts seem to be very similar. Different than what God had asked.
Good point, David. And so, because we see there's many examples that we can look at that will show that idea of people doing things and maybe it doesn't explain a whole lot around the purpose, but I think, as many have mentioned, you know, there might have been some kind of logic, if you will, in their reasoning. They might have been trying to do things, you know, I mean, their intentions, which we'll see that on this next point here. Their intentions might have been right, but if we're not doing it according to God's will, then it's not right. So on the next point, let's see here. What does verse 5 explain about David? What were they doing? The way that this is worded, does it make you think that that he was intentionally trying to displease God? Does it from what it described, does it sound like he was trying to displease God? Because to your point, Alex, when they used that example of these instruments and stuff, what were they doing?
Worshiping.
That was worshiping. Okay, so they, so it says they were celebrating. Let me read the actual verse. It says, verse 5. It says, meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments. And then it lists all of those. So you see this idea of them celebrating before the Lord or worshiping. So by knowing this, that says something about David's attitude toward what he was doing. And what I mean by that, the text implies that what he was doing wasn't purposely to go against God. He was celebrating before God is the way it was stated. And David and all of Israel were celebrating before God. And it says with all their might. So we see that, you know, this idea of what they were doing, when they were doing it in their eyes, I guess you could say, was not something that was against God's will. And that's where we go back to this whole, I mean, we can say these other denominations, but that's where you and I need to be careful, because we can fall into this same trap. That's why it's important that we be the students, you know, that we need to be, so that we can try to not get in those kinds of situations. But it has to do with God's authority, and that's what this really boils down to. What they were doing was not authorized. They were going against something that was specific. So does it matter? Obviously, it does. So why? And as I mentioned in these stories, verse 7 has something that's... Let's read verses 6 and 7 here in 2 Samuel. It says, but when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out towards the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. Yes, he was trying to keep the cart steady, and we might try to reason in this way. Wasn't he looking out after the ark? Wasn't he trying to keep it from you know, tumping over? Yes, that's true. But verse 6 says that he reached out towards the ark of God and took hold of it. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, like John said, he said, well, everybody agreed, you know, but that doesn't make things right. That's good warnings for us, you know, just because if it feels right or if other people agree, or if it makes sense, it might make sense to us. But again, when it comes to things that God's specific about, you know, think about this. I'll get right with you. In a parent-child relationship, when we're instructing this little one, you know, all they hear is, well, don't do this or that or whatever. We don't always explain ourselves, and you know, we don't have to. In some cases, it's good to help them to understand, but it depends on the kid, the age, all different factors. That's kind of like this. We know what God has specifically told us what to do. And we know that He has our best interest at heart. We know that for a fact. So why would we even question Him? We know that He knows more about things than we could ever know. So why do we question Him? And that's, you know, I think one of the factors. Because by not doing what He said, is that why? Is it, are we questioning His ability to know about this? Or do you think He's not had these other things that you think you're reasoning on why not to do this? Don't you think He could have thought of that? But, yes, sir. That's right. You know, we have to be obedient to God, and that shows the importance of us as students. Because if we say that that's who we're following, you know, because that, a lot of this, that's what it boils down to. People say that they're following Christ. They're doing this under that banner, yet the things they do, obviously, you know, in some of the cases are very obvious that what they're doing is against what's, you know, taught in God's Word. So that's why it's important for us to each grow as individuals, you know, in God's Word, so we can have a better understanding, so we can live like He would want us to. And as we interact with one another, we can help one another grow in these understandings. And so that we can please God. Now in verse 7, you know, when we saw this idea of irreverence. So, it's talking about this irreverence in the, which you can think of irreverence or lack of respect. I looked up in Webster's online just to give a definition for reverence, which I think we all pretty much know what it means, but it says to honor or respect that, or this is an honor or respect that is felt for or shown to someone or something. So it has to do with, you know, in this case, God is due our honor and respect, didn't He? And He was not honoring God or treating Him holy. And back to these intentions. Didn't David have good intentions with this new cart? Didn't Uzzah have good intentions when he reached out to steady the ark? And again, that's a lesson for us. Good intentions on their own do not make something right. Okay? Like we've repeated several times, and we probably will some more, when God is specific about things, we better do as He's commanded. And because that's very important. We see the importance of this. We see these examples. I mean, doesn't that prove the importance of this? Think about the outcome.
Right.
Yes, sir.
There's a couple pertinent verses in this.
Okay.
Look back at Proverbs 14:12, where it says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You know, we can come up with innovations, but that doesn't mean that it's in line with what God commands us. We can also look at Jeremiah 10:23. It says, I know, Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it's not in man who walks to direct his steps. So, you know, we've always got to put aside our own ideas of what is the best thing to do to yield to what God has written down for us to do.
Yes, sir. Good points, man.
Right.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about the word irreverence. The American Standard, the King James Version, has the word error instead of irreverence.
Error, yes, sir.
And so we know the son of Uzzah was a son of Kohath. They were responsible for carrying the ark and other vessels of the temple. And so here we find God is holding him accountable. He showed reverence. He made an error, and he came upon God's judgment because of that. Whether he forgot about it or he knew about it, it followed either way. Still held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing you should know is how God feels about it. He's angry with the Lord.
Yes.
He says that when we sin, he's the same. God is angry with that.
Yes. Good points, Rocky. Did I see another hand? No? Okay. Let's look over a couple chapters in First Chronicle. Well, let's run over to First Chronicle 15. Okay, in First Chronicles, well, we're going to look at 15:2, but just a couple verses previous in 13. Is where it was talking about this transportation. But now we see here in 1 Chronicles 15, in verse 2 it says, Then David said, No one is to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord chose them to carry the ark of God. Let's skip down to verse 13. It says, Because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance. So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord, or the ark of the Lord God of Israel. In verse 15 it says, And the sons of the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with the poles thereon, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. So now they are transporting it in the way that they should have been transporting it in the first place, according to the ordinance of God and according to the way that Moses had commanded. And we don't have to turn there, but in Exodus 25, it explains some of this about how the ark was to be carried. You see that it was to be in the poles, or the poles in the rings of the ark, and they were to be carried. So it was specific on how the ark was transported. Let's look over at 1 Samuel for a second. In 1 Samuel 3. Not 3, 13. I was going to say, that doesn't look right. Let's look at 1 Samuel 13. 12. Okay, 1 Samuel 13:12 says, "Therefore I said, now the Philistines." Let's back up. Actually, let's start at verse 10. "And it came about as soon as he finished offering the burnt offerings, that behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him and greet him. But Samuel said, 'What have you done?' And Saul said, 'Because I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed days, and the Philistines were assembling in Michmash. Therefore I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord.' So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established you or your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." So, what reason does Saul use in doing this in verse 12? His reason for this sacrifice, burnt offering. Okay. And because he's saying, well, but, you know, the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I've not asked for the favor of the Lord. So his reasoning, again, we get to this reason. His reasoning is he did this so he could have the favor of the Lord. Did this gain favor? Okay, so, you know, again, what was the outcome? So it didn't gain favor. And again, we're just seeing this same thing kind of over and over because of our reasoning or our thinking. You know, we choose to do things a certain way, even when we know it was specific. Now, what does Samuel state or ask in a verse 11? Basically, he says, you know, "Saul, what have you done?" And then in verse 13, he tells him, you know, you've acted foolishly. You've acted foolishly. And it also states in verse 13 that you haven't kept the commandment of the Lord. So, you know, although in his thinking he was doing this to gain favor, it was far from that is what would happen. And verse 14 reveals the outcome that, you know, the kingdom wouldn't endure. And we see these kind of examples in the Bible. We see, you know, the ones we looked at as far as the transportation of the ark. And as David had mentioned, offering strange fire. And this example here, we see how people can think that there is a good reason to do something a different way. And like I said, in a lot of these, it doesn't explain in detail why. But I think these examples tell us what we need to know. We need to know that, again, if God is specific, then we need to do things in the way that He specified. We need to be careful of just doing our own think-sos, just doing it based on how we feel or how others do it or we all agreed. You know, these are things that sound good and you know, others will use these as reasons to do things, but we see the error in that. You know, just because a lot of people agree on something doesn't make something right. You know, so how many were on Noah's Ark? Yes.
Mm-hmm. But people come out with their own things, sinners' prayer.
Right.
Or, you know, baptism is not necessary. Yet the Bible gives us specific instructions on how to be saved. It's there.
Yes.
God gave to us.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point, Alex. Yeah. I mean, we see that. We see that in salvation. We see that in just acts of worship or whatever, you know, things. Like you brought up instrumental music or anything. We've got to look to God's Word to have the understanding of how we should handle all these different situations because it is important, especially in salvation, because if, you know, you haven't put on Christ. Yes, sir. We don't always, you know, we're not necessarily going to understand the reasons why on certain things. And maybe it could be the reasons we don't understand something could be because we need to grow in our understanding. And, you know, and we don't always have to know why. So, it goes back to trusting God, trusting in what He says. You know, we think about that, and in some of the examples, talking about the idea of honoring God. Don't we want to honor God? I mean, when we think about the love that He's shown for us, you know, is there any question that He's not looking out for our best interest? You know, when you think about the good news of Jesus, is there any question, you know, that God cares for us? There shouldn't be any question. Question is, are we going to trust in Him? Are we going to look to His Word for understanding? And as we know, knowing it is not enough, are we going to apply it? Are we going to live it in our lives? You know, that's what's important. So obviously, you know, I titled it, Doesn't Matter. Obviously, we can see that it does matter. How I or we do things, especially if it's something that God was specific about. And we see that in these examples, there could be error in our decision making. So us realizing that, you know, that can be helpful to us. So maybe we will be the students that we need to be. Maybe we'll try to better understand God's will on things so that we can live in a way that would please Him and be good for those that we're around. Got a couple other little thoughts, but We're getting pretty close to time there, so we'll stop right there. Thank y'all for y'all's comments. Are there any other comments or thoughts? Okay. Thank you.